From high above First Street South in oblique Minneapolis, this is Nice Games Club, the show where nice game devs talk gaming and game development.
I'm Ellen Burns-Johnson, and I play nice games.
I'm Stephen McGregor, and I make nice games.
And I'm Arthur Croy, I too make nice games. For this week's episode, it's another Nice Games Jam. We have not been given a prompt this time, we'll explain later, but we're going to try to come up with a complete game that you can play by the end of this episode. Will it work? We and you are about to find out. And so everyone is ready. Everyone at this table, this in-person table where we are doing a Nice Games Jam.
We're all here.
In person for the first time in a long while.
Well,
let's start.
I said play instead of make.
You did. I noticed that.
It came out so naturally. And then I realized, oh my God, that's not what I'm supposed to say.
Like, is Steven going to pick up on it?
No, like, I picked up on it. I was just like, no, I'm saying Mike. Mine does not say play on it. It says make on the script.
Oh, Steven was reading the script.
I read the script every time.
This is
what episode? 225 episodes, I think, or so? I read the script every single time.
All right, I'm the only person without their laptop in front of them, which is funny because you'd think I'd grab any chance I could possibly get to have my laptop in front of me
because
it's so new. Yeah. But instead, in front of me, I have a bunch of prompt cards and some prototyping stuff.
Now, normally for a Nice Games Jam, long-time listeners may know, is we usually get a prompt from our boyfriend, Dylan, or from the show's wife, Dale. But this time we're doing it a little differently. Ellen, you've brought all these prompt cards. Explain how this works.
Do you think that the show's wife knows about the show's boyfriend?
Yeah.
Okay, as long as everyone's...
They co-host Evil Games Club together.
Yeah, as long as everyone's in the know, yeah, that's fine. Yeah. Show, do you. Okay, so I brought in a deck called Playthinker, and we will link to this in the show notes. But Playthinker is it's a website. On the back of the card, it says playthinker.com. And one of the things you can do on the website is you can order this cool deck. And this deck is a bunch of cards that all have different types of player-game interactions. Mm-hmm. So these are ways that the player interacts with the game. And they are, I'm pretty sure they're like medium agnostic. So you could use these as prompts for tabletop games or for digital games or for whatever. And they are in a few different categories. And I'm not going to worry about explaining the categories because the print on the explanation card is really small.
And you're not into reading things off of things today.
So. No, that's not my energy this late in the afternoon. Mm. I'm just gonna wing it and it's gonna be great.
Yeah.
So here's an example, like exploration. The player gains information mainly through examining objects and exploring their surroundings. That's one card. Mm-hmm. And there are dozens of cards. And so the idea is we draw some. And then we have to make a game that incorporates all of them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is a really good format for our purpose here for Nice Games Jam. What is the intended use case for this deck?
I think this exact thing.
Is game jams.
Yeah. Well, or, you know, just honing your game design chops, just, right?
As a practice exercise.
Yeah. Here are the three instructions cards. You can see how tiny the font
Listener,
is.
The font is very fine.
It's very small. Like,
it's extremely tiny.
Steven can even read it from across the table.
How to... You're moving it back.
Okay. How to use Playthinker cards. You can use this deck by yourself or in a group.
Two words.
You did nail it. And then I cheated. You may prefer to keep the goals and challenges cards separate from the rest of the deck. So, like, there are seven different categories. Each of the categories are player game interactions of a certain type. But then there's also this seventh, you know, this goal stack, which is stuff like reach the end or sandbox and just, you know, the end state goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then there are a few different ways that the designers here of the Playthinker deck suggested that you use the deck.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like freeform random, ordered random, targeted, make a genre. And I am not going to have us do any of those. So what I was thinking we could do is we could select a goal card.
Mm.
And then we would...
With some agency on our part. That's new.
A goal card. And then we could shuffle all these other ones and randomly pick two or three.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the way that the deck suggested that you work with the randomly drawn cards is that the one that you draw first is the most common player game interaction, and then the one that you draw second is like the next most common.
Ah, okay.
And the one that you draw third is the third most common. And they just say like more than three gets difficult,
right,
which makes sense.
Steven, four or five. We up to it?
No, yeah, no,
please
do it.
I don't know what you're
going to make this hard on Ellen.
I don't know what you're doing. Hey,
we've never done this challenge before. Let's go
all the way. Oh, yeah.
Legendary. All right. I mean, we can always try and fail, and that's allowed.
You know, what we could do is maybe we could pull two and then kind of decide if that's enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's like, or like, I think even before we like properly start, like we can, it's an unknown challenge perhaps, but maybe we could kind of dial it in as we begin.
Yeah. Yeah. We can totally, this is, you know, like they have these recommended ways that you can use the cards, mm-hmm. but you just use them however you want. Cause it's all about you generating ideas yeah. by yourself or with friends.
And if you've listened to a Nice Games Jam before, you know that we don't always stick to the prompt.
Yes.
Because it really just is a way to get us started.
Yeah.
But these are very specific. So I'm motivated, I think, to follow these rules. I want to please the teacher.
Yeah.
You know, but we should know that we don't have to.
Of course, as usual. Okay. So I think what I would like to do is I'm just spreading out the several goal cards that are part of that part of the deck.
Yes.
And I've set aside the other player game interactions cards off to the side, and I'll shuffle them in a second.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there are a couple of these goals that I'd like to remove because I don't know if they'd be super fun from game jammy perspective, but you guys right. disagree with
me. I want to pick aesthetic experience because why is that a goal? I don't know what that means.
Okay, so the game, I was going to remove sandbox.
Oh, sure.
Well, let's quick just, we don't have to read all the cards, but let's just name the seven goals.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
You, I will read them.
You read them, Steven.
Yes.
You do it.
I've got good eyes.
We've proven that.
Dominance, collection, efficiency, reach the end, reach a specific end state, sandbox, and aesthetic experience.
So yeah, without describing these or reading the flavor text below, I think listeners and I'm the same way. I got a general idea of examples of what some of these games might be.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
except for aesthetic experience. I don't get it.
Okay.
Well, let's read that one and see. Because that might be difficult because I think we want to do a board game style game. One, we're in person and that's, you know, we're that's still novel for us.
Yeah.
Or it's novel again for us. So we kind of probably want to play with all the props that Ellen brought. So maybe we want to take out things that don't lends itself to that. But aesthetic experience might be difficult. But I don't know. What does it say?
Aesthetic experience. The game focuses on the experience of playing rather than on the act of playing.
Oh, so like Pogs.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
I mean, they would be no fun if there was nothing on drawn on them, right?
Oh, yeah. All right. That's fair.
Hmm.
They're like. But there wasn't there a collection? There is already a collection one, right?
Uh huh. So. Well, these are not mutually exclusive.
Yeah.
But I do think that this one might be tricky for us.
Yeah,
for
that's fair.
Yeah, this almost feels like an episode.
Yes.
Like, hey, remember that card? What did that card mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Let me talk about it for an
what
hour.
What is?
I'm putting like it down. Putting it down.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. I also think we could remove sandbox.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Good.
And then we are left with these five to choose from as our goal.
Yeah, these all seem very doable with a board game.
And, yeah.
We may find ourselves wanting to do a paper prototype or something, but we should be able to find our way to play with our props with any of these five that remain. So let's pick one, I guess. Right? We're not drawing one randomly?
Yeah, we pick one.
I think it'd be more fun to choose one as long as we don't spend more than like 3 minutes choosing.
Okay. So we should draw one randomly then?
I don't want to do dominance. Okay. I don't want to do collection.
Uh-huh. Okay. That leaves efficiency, reach the end, and reach a specific end state.
That one's too many words for me to want to do it.
I actually like that one best.
Oh, okay. Really? Okay.
Because it's... So reach the end would be like a traditional board game.
Sure.
Like the game of life or whatever.
Yeah.
Reach a specific end state would be basically like if you're competing with other players to like, you know...
Well, it'd be like in Robossin, finishing the robot. For a task
that would be reach the end.
So the way that it describes it is,
but of course, I think there's some. I'm arguing with you as if I know the definitions of these things.
Yeah,
I think it's all open to interpretation.
I mean, I don't know it, but it is on the card. Mark, you want to read it?
The player must make the playing field conform to predefined rules. So specific is so. For example, a jigsaw puzzle must be reassembled, or a crossword must be filled in.
Oh.
With letters to form words in all applicable directions. So this is more what I was thinking. Reach the end was, which is. Well, I guess it is. It reached an end state. So what is reach the end then? What's different about that?
The primary objective of the game is to reach its milestones. Milestones can be checkpoints, unlockables, or the end of each level.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So
okay.
I feel like if I were writing this reach a specific end state card or cardigan, I would just write puzzle. puzzle.
Yeah.
Because that seems to be what they're going for. But like, reach the end. Like, I'm thinking of is it Takedo, when you're like moving the people across the landscape and you're stopping at different places and you're gathering.
Possibly.
Never mind. Okay. I'm getting blank stares from across the table.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, that you reach the last point on the landscape, and then you tally up whoever has the most victory points.
Oh, I see.
You know, but the end state is you reach the last checkpoint.
You play until the game is over rather than you play until somebody wins.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you play until the end, and then whoever wins is the person who has the most whatevers.
Well, what's our last card here?
Efficiency.
I do like efficiency.
The most balanced character.
Yeah. Yes. The player is motivated to master the game system so that they can play cleanly and expertly. Oh my goodness. Mastery can come from precise control, knowledge of the system, exploitation of glitches, and so on. Wait.
Yeah.
What?
I mean, it's just a prompt.
Right.
I know, but it's, like,
that one very leads into video games.
Yeah.
I think that would be our most challenging one, but like, I'm up for it.
Let's do it.
I don't think it's going to go great, but like, I never think these are going to go great. We always end up with something cool.
So. No, let's do it. It actually sounds really cool if we can make it work.
Our goal is efficiency. And that could be the goal of the game design. It could be the goal of the players, I guess, right? I'm guessing there's a lot open to our interpretation.
I mean, I think that's fair, but the little prompt thing says the player specifically. But,
oh, okay.
I mean, it can also be
the player is motivated.
Right. We can motivate the player to do that, but it doesn't have to be the goal of the player.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah. You're absolutely right.
Mm, okay.
Mm. Or it could be.
Hmm. Mm.
I mean, I'm excited.
Shuffling sounds.
Like thinking of board game examples that fall, like Rummy or something, right? Where you have to, you draw and you slowly find your way towards the right combination of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, you don't think of it in those terms, but that is kind of what you're doing.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of efficiency. I mean, like, efficiency can be a really, it can be a present dynamic in like lots of games that you wouldn't expect. Like, for some reason, Splendor is popping up.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Because you have just really so few decisions that actually make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't start out, like every decision counts, and especially your first couple decisions. And so you've got to be really careful about your action economy. But who knows? Okay. I think about efficiency whenever I pick a sniper shooter. Because I don't have to walk very far to kill things.
Oh, I guess that's one way of looking at it. I thought you meant like accuracy.
I mean, yeah.
That too.
That enables the efficiency. Yeah. Okay. So I shuffled the rest of the cards, and these are the other types of player/game interactions.
Okay.
I'm going to have Stephen choose one randomly from the big pile.
Oh, my. So much pressure. Aha! Combination.
Ooh.
What does it say? Simple objects can be combined with some degree of freedom to create more complex ones. Crafting. Rube Goldberg machines. Mixing metals to obtain new alloys.
Okay, but we can't make Robustin.
All roads lead to Robustin.
Okay, Mark, your
turn. I get to draw the second one. Steven, you have to do the drum roll.
Oh, my.
Okay.
Mic sounds.
Approach. Try to touch certain objects, such as power-ups, keys, coins, checkpoints, melee attacks.
How do you touch a melee attack?
This one feels like they were running out of time and needed so many cards and wrote this one. But I like it.
Okay.
Okay.
Huh. So it's essentially the mechanic of collection, in a sense. Although it doesn't quite say it that way. All their examples imply that, or most of them do. But it seems like they're trying to get at something bigger than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think what I'm seeing here in approach is like,
it's a spatial game.
It might be the challenge.
Yeah.
How to approach.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
How do you do it?
Right. Right. Well, I think it's what means to be melee attacks is like deciding when the right time is to
go closer, use it.
Fast.
Oh.
And then like checkpoints is making your way to a thing. And then the keys, coins, power-ups are all collectibles. That's why it sort of seemed leaning in that direction. But maybe it's just about
fighting
space
game, but with crafting.
Do we want to?
We
pull
already
a third
did
one?
An Architects.
Dang it! Okay, well, we made too many games, I guess.
It is funny when you like in using these cards. I can. It's the games we've already done in Ice Games Jam come quicker to my mind.
Yeah, huh.
Because of the describing them in these ways.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Also, because the thing that I'm hearing with us talking about these two cards makes me feel like we should probably draw a third. Give us some more constraints.
Give me that deck so you can draw it.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Ellen,
draw from the top.
Ellen, draw a card.
It's a good looking card. Exploration. The player gains information mainly through examining objects and exploring their surroundings.
Okay. So that actually pairs pretty well with approach.
Yeah.
I think so too.
I might be putting it in a box, but they seem to go together okay.
You know what comes to mind? Mm-hmm. Especially approach and exploration. Like, like hidden. Sunken Island or whatever. I'm so bad at remembering names of games that I play on. Like desktop.
Well, you keep thinking because the one that came to me was Minesweeper.
Something like that. Yeah, like where you're uncovering tiles.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Treasure Island.
Oh, we could do a whole episode on Minesweeper.
Sunken Island. Dungeons and Dragons board game, like an electronic board game.
Yeah.
That I got from a Goodwill when I was a teenager. It's from the 80s.
Yeah.
And it's a grid, and the grid is they're all buttons, and you have a proper pewter figure. They look like a miniature because this is where everything was plastic. And you press the token down on a spot in the corner of the dungeon, and then you hear tones that tell you where the walls go, and then you have these plastic walls that you place, and you just slowly make your way through. So it's like Fog of War in a board game.
Yeah,
and that I was reminded of that too, thinking about the exploration, like how we do that in a physical space.
Yeah,
is to kind of reveal what the space is as you travel through it. You know.
Yeah,
like you're looking for something, and maybe the sort of efficiency of your approach could be like, you know, reading the thing, like what's likely to be over this way, over that way. If we have a board that is like revealed tiles, maybe there are ways we can give the players clues that give them like how much of a chance, if I keep going this way, will I find what I'm looking for, even though it's the shorter path? Or maybe it's a better chance that I'll find what I'm going this way, but it'll take me longer or whatever.
Yeah, I'm kind of getting the picture of like a maze. Mm-hmm. Or something, or maybe it's not a maze. Maybe you're just like thrown into a fog or something, like a Fog of War sort of thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It might not have to be like literal, like each tile or each, if you flip cards or whatever, could that each represent 10 feet or something.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It could be more like zones, like moving from city to city or from block to block or from this the hill to the valley or whatever.
But what I'm thinking is like you know you would go through these tiles or what have you, mm-hmm. and then when you know go to a new one, you flip it over, and some of those objects. You can take, and then you can use them and combine them with other objects,
other things
in the field,
yep,
to get more stuff.
That was kind of what I was thinking too. Like the games that I was thinking of are the ones where you like have a grid of face down tiles. Mm-hmm. Ooh, I moved too far away from the mic. face down tiles, and on each turn, like you flip a tile, and you can, you know, you move to that tile, or you can move a couple tiles away and flip that. And maybe what we do is you start by being only able to move a tile, mm-hmm. and then as you go, you're gathering items that allow you to flip more tiles, so you're more efficiently moving through.
That's good.
And you can collect power ups, but it could be kind of like Arkanoid style, where you can only use one power up. So you can make some choices about like, oh, I can do two tiles on this turn, but if I pick up this one instead, I can break through a wall. But then I lose my ability to move two, or maybe you can have up to two or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There could be some risk reward there. Like, and if it's a multiplayer game, we could have, it could be trying to reach a goal that everyone's going for, even though they don't know where it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we've all hit on the idea of like having a grid of like reversible, like revealable tiles.
Yeah.
It's a little obvious, but like it's really, there's a lot there that we can mine. So I'm up for that. Also, it's probably something we can produce quickly.
Yes.
Yeah. If we're thinking that way.
Yeah.
I mean, I like that plan. Do we have a deck of cards that are not the cards we used to make this game?
This is the prototyping kit I brought had a blank deck of cards and I forgot it.
Well, I can run around and find a standard deck of cards.
Do it.
I'll do that.
Okay.
So do it.
Whether we edit this part out of the episode depends on how interesting a conversation the two of you have while I'm gone. Go.
Okay. So that was so fast. It's like he knew exactly where the cards are.
That's Hanafuda. Oh, sorry.
Ooh.
So as I roll back to the mic, I grabbed a Hanafuda deck, which has lots of different types of cards.
Cool.
More suits and such, so we could use those as
and
tokens.
And smaller.
I also grabbed a standard deck of cards, which are styled in Le Grand Roi de France, which is the Great Kings of France, which you'll... If you know anything about the Kings of France, that's a bit of an exaggeration, I think. but that's my standard deck of cards here. With a couple of...
That is some hair. Whoa. That is a wig. Oh, that's Louis the 14th. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we got Louis the 14th and Louis the 16th on either side of it, which is like, yeah, that's two Kings of France.
Well, I think we would more easily recognize the 52 cards. Right.
Yes, I think so. I just in case we need more tokens.
I like using the Hanafuda, mm-hmm. but I think that it...
Can I hold the box?
Oh yes.
Listeners who are wondering why this is so fun, Hanafuda cards are super cool. There's a game that's played called Koi Koi. It's a common game that Stephen, you and Dale have been playing mm-hmm. a lot recently.
Yeah.
In Tabletop Simulator.
Yes.
And I recently got imported for Dale the Club Nintendo themed Hanafuda deck, because if people who know the history of Nintendo, that's what Nintendo made when they started as a company in 18 yada yada.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of always a fun charming part of their history. So these very traditional Japanese art style, like the deck was replaced with like Mario and Luigi and stuff. It's very cute.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, listeners should check it out, because Hanafuda decks are awesome.
Okay, I'm gonna start.
You're going to put some cards down
yep.
in a grid?
You confidently, as if you know what we're doing.
We don't.
Never
put
do.
Some cards
Never
down
do.
In a grid.
Just make uh-huh. it up uh-huh. as you go. It's fine.
So you're, Steven, you're laying out these the standard deck of cards in a kind of grid.
I am indeed.
And we're going to kind of see what we get from that.
The game is a metaphor for the game design process.
I am reading your palms.
Tarot is not one of the things that we drew from the deck.
No. Right.
So it's a 4x4 grid, all
sure,
face
just because
down.
Of our space.
We have so much space. Yeah, for sure.
Okay. So I guess I'm gonna grab a little meeple.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
You guys want some meeples?
I'll take one.
Okay. Which color do you want?
I'd like a red one, please.
You want a red one? Okay. Oh yeah, look at that.
Surprise me.
Yay! Thank
you. I will have this rad black one. You can have this cool green one.
Ooh.
Oh yeah, I know. The unchosen colors were blue, yellow, and white.
Who needs them? Well, we might later, but
if our what if our character gets like eaten or blown up or something, and you grab another one? Like, okay, so anyway, there's these
questions. We're gonna put explosions in this game, Ellen. Is that?
I mean, is that a question?
Come on.
We've leaned into the sort of like obvious choice of we each have a character we play as.
Mm-hmm.
I'm comfortable with that, but we don't have to limit ourselves to that necessarily.
That's true.
So the way, so I don't know.
We could have NPCs that move in predictable patterns, and then we as players control something else, maybe.
So the way, okay, so what I'm imagining the way this works is initially, right away in the beginning, you start off on any of the outer edge of this grid.
Maybe you choose where you start from.
Yes, and you pick you land on that and you flip over the card. And I'm going to say that if the card is a suit, what's the king?
Face card?
Yeah, face card.
Mm-hmm.
The card is a face card, then it's an item. If it's not a face card, then it's just an empty space.
Sure.
Okay. I'm going to do this.
Ooh, wait, before we continue.
Uh-huh.
Are we competing against one another, or is this cooperative?
Oh, I wanted to compete.
Yeah, I feel like this, I think competition probably makes the most sense for now. I don't know if that'll be where we end up, but...
I'm feeling that, too. And the reason for me is that the game that is, like... mechanically similar to this game in my mind, at least, mm-hmm. that I can't remember the name of, was cooperative. So I like the idea of it being competitive.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So Steven has placed his meeple.
Yes.
And he's flipping that card.
It's a six.
Oh, tough break for the early
November,
player.
November 1630.
Oh, there's like
King Facts.
King Facts. Cool. Oh.
You are now subscribed to King Facts.
All right, so I'll move my meeple ahead of me, which is actually very close to where Steven is.
Oh.
Flipping my card.
Ooh.
Ooh.
I got
not a king.
It's a V, so this is a Cardinal de Richelieu. I'm not pronouncing that correctly, but...
I don't know French.
Chateau de Chantilly.
Sounds
Philippe French de Champagne.
I would know.
I don't know. But I don't know if that... Well, how does that place in the stand? Like, is that the jack or is it the queen?
Oh,
it's probably the jack. But okay. it's the V of clubs.
Mm.
Yeah. I thought I picked the normal deck, folks.
That's fine.
But it's a face card. It's all it counts.
Yeah.
So yeah, I have a face on it.
So now, I mean, we don't really know what we're doing yet, but like so now I have revealed that there's some object there and it's the V of clubs. And so maybe that specifically means something, although our maybe final deck would be more not balanced, just like a 52 card deck.
But yeah.
Let's just imagine.
Yes.
So should we just keep going, or should we just say I have an item and just?
Well, I think you should try to invent what the item does.
Yes. Okay. Well, what is my goal exactly? Right.
Like, we don't know.
Okay. So what item would be useful? So like
efficiency.
Okay. So when we talk about like you can move twice, right? So maybe when you can move twice, but you can if you only reveal the one you end up at.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. So it makes it not super OP.
Sure.
Whatever power is in this game.
Wouldn't that make it being able to? Well, okay, yes.
There's a certain logic. Like, okay, so am I revealing the fog of war as I pass through, or do I go somewhere and dig in the ground?
Yeah.
For the thing, look for the thing there, right? So there's a thematic metaphor here that will start to coalesce as we describe what these movements might feel like in our fiction.
Yeah.
But
I feel like the latter. Option. Wow, I'm just losing continuity today. I don't feel like you should move or reveal the cards that you move through. I should feel like you should reveal the card that you land on.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. Good. I agree.
Because you're looking for objects, right?
Yeah.
And you have to look for objects in order. You have to roll a perception check to look for objects. Uh-huh. You know, you're not just unless you have a really high perception score naturally.
Right. So maybe that's what the combination could be. Like maybe that's what this is that each item does something unique, but when you combine them, they do a third thing. And neither of the two original things.
Well, that might be hard to write, but you could have them do both things?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just like, what do the two things combined mean, I suppose? Yeah, okay. Well, we'll just work with that for now. That, like, combining two has a strategy to it. So one of them is everything you pass through is revealed. One of them is you can move two or three, you know.
More than your current one.
Sure. Yeah. Yes. Which one did you pick up?
Let's just say I got the one that lets me move two.
Sounds good.
Two,
yeah,
instead of one.
Cool.
And I don't know what benefit that is to me yet, but and now I have an item. So, Ellen, why don't you give me a token that signifies an item, and we can do that for points for now. Maybe just now the game is to get the most face cards. It's not balanced, but let's just play it that way for now.
Yeah. Okay.
And then whichever color you give me will denote that particular style.
Mm-hmm.
You can get a gold one.
Ooh, thank you. Befitting the kings of France.
Well, now I just want to take
those,
away.
Those V's. I look through it. There's like an R in it. I think it was it a G?
So R would be king then?
Sure. I don't know French.
Wait, yeah. What does V stand for in French?
I don't know.
Yeah, there's an R. There's a D.
Vatican? Because it's a cardinal?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Anyway.
Like, is it vicar? But like, no, that's kind of English.
At any rate, Ellen, it is your turn.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going
to
enter.
This is like an unintended wrinkle to this experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, oops. That's the game jam, folks.
I mean, ultimately, it doesn't matter.
You know, this is the Palace of Versailles. We're like roaming the gardens of the Palace of Versailles.
Yeah.
That's what this game is.
Oh. That's actually kind of cool idea. Right? Let's bank that. Okay, so I revealed A3 and all I found in this room in the Palace of Versailles was like a chamber pot.
Some king facts.
Chamber pot might be useful.
Well, you got a three.
I mean, chamber pot would be useful. You can go on the move.
Yeah.
It helps with efficiency.
Yeah.
You know, it just occurred to me, sorry to interrupt, but it occurs to me the value of being able to move twice, which is as cards are revealed, all the cards around you might be revealed.
Right.
So, okay. It didn't occur to me that there'd be any value to it, but as you play, it would. And it could be strategic play. You could get in somebody's way to make their turn less valuable.
That's what I'm trying to do now, and I can't come up with a way to do it. So
mm-hmm.
I'm going to move here.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I have an idea. After you reveal that card, I have an idea.
Okay. Face card. It's a two. That's even worse.
Okay.
I found not a chamber pot, but the stuff that goes into chamber pot.
Just a room full of poop. So I was, the idea that I had was like, kind of works with the idea that you're exploring like a location, and that is like the game ends when you have explored the whole deck.
Yeah.
So after a person leaves a revealed room, you put a new card face down.
We want to do that.
Well, hold up a second, because that actually counters what we were talking about just now
about
strategically playing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe, but there should be a mechanism by which that happens.
Sure.
Maybe like once all of a certain type, and with our deck of cards, we're not going to be able to get that quite right, but. You know what I mean? Like that. I like that mechanism a lot. That you work through.
Could be matching. match through.
Yeah,
match
that two. Could be if you match two.
If you match, or there's some item you have or something.
Then those get removed and replaced or something.
Yeah.
I just really want to hold on to the strategic, like,
position.
Yeah, I agree.
Because that gets our sort of approach.
Yeah.
Mechanic.
Well, okay. So I think the idea of having it as a random match of cards will be difficult because if you're pulling through a whole deck, the possibility exists that you just end up with not having any of those cards
on
your table.
It's we're hamstrung by the nature of the 52
that's why
card
I
deck.
Was saying that if you there maybe there's an item that allows you to reshuffle the cards.
How do you make sure that item ends up on the dealt cards?
Yeah.
Well, if we were to design the card there'd be any number of ways, but we can't do it now with our 52 card deck. Yeah.
Well, the reason I brought that up was so that I could suggest a different thing, which is
okay. Yeah.
all four corners of the dealt grid are revealed.
Oh.
Because you could, if you're ahead uh-huh. of the game, you could find it advantageous to then cycle all the flipped cards. You know, if you've got an item and other people don't, mm-hmm. or something like that, it might be. It's within, like, the players decide when it happens, but like, when it happens might be more advantageous to one player than another, and I think it could lean into the competitiveness.
I think I missed the trigger. So when you're saying when the four corners of the 16 cards are revealed, then all the ones that have been revealed get shuffled out?
Yeah.
Get
cycled. So like
cool, okay.
I did this corner one but none of the other corners have been revealed.
Yeah.
And so like we have a lot of time before the other ones are revealed. Well, maybe not that much time, but like you could get here in a couple turns. I could get here in a couple turns. Mm-hmm. Steven could get there in a couple turns. And
it's also useful for Steven, who's gone two turns without finding anything.
Yeah.
To want to trigger that sooner rather than later.
Potentially, yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. That's a good.
Yeah, let's work with that.
Okay.
For now. Yeah.
We can try it.
I still get to block Steven as I was planning to do this turn.
Right.
But we can get this reset method working. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm going to move my character two forward from my position, which is now sitting in front of Steven.
But why?
And leave Steven with only one free or unrevealed card next to him.
But why? Oh, come on.
Ooh, I got
another V.
The V of
how
hearts.
Am I already upset about this game? It's not even finished yet.
Cardinal Mazarin.
I feel like we're on the right track then.
Yeah.
Not because you're frustrated, but because you're having feelings about it, you know?
Yeah, what I like about when we do these game jams, and this is a benefit to the listener as well, is that, oh, thank you. I have another. Oh, did you give me the same power? Because it's the V, right?
It's another V. So I was thinking maybe the synergy comes from when you get like three of a kind or something. You get two
of
a kind.
Or like maybe now that I got two of the same type, which is a weird coincidence, I can now move three.
That's cool with me. Makes sense.
I want to. Although there's very few opportunities to move three. But whatever. I was going to say one of the benefits of these game jams, and I hope listeners appreciate it, is that we like the strategy, the meta, none of this is figured out yet, but Steven is already competitive.
And
already feels the game. And I think that's a really valuable tool, because I am never like that. I'm always very much like, I don't see why this matters yet.
You say that, but then you block me. So
well, I'm working with the
Zing.
Knowledge.
I know.
I mean, I'm not proud of it. But
I should have seen that coming and moved in a different direction.
Yeah.
It was a good move.
Anyway, respect.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I got my second token of the same type because I just happened to get another V. And Ellen, it is your turn.
Okay. I'm staying away from whatever mess is happening on this side of the table.
Yeah, you're gonna get blocked next.
Yeah.
Hey. No, I'm going this way.
Oh. Okay.
So I only can move one. I haven't had any items yet. Oh, but I just uncovered a
Heck.
D.
Oh my gosh.
Which is Muttery.
I don't know.
Leskinsk. That's not French. Mm-hmm. Leskinsk. Yeah.
Sure.
Oh, that's embarrassing. I'm sorry.
I took French in high school and college, so this whole episode is going to be me telling on myself.
Fair enough. Leskinsky.
All right. What does that do?
So D must be the queen then in the province of this deck.
Well, I'm going to look that up.
Okay.
Okay. So this is a face card. I'm already starting to think that there might be too many face cards in a normal deck. More than we would want items or
possibly
something.
Yeah
or
well that's a balance problem we can get there when we get there.
Yep.
Maybe you need like two of a kind in order to get the benefit or something, like you have to assemble parts or something.
Yes I like that. Yeah
like once you've assembled the three V parts then you can move extra,
right?
Or once you've assembled the three D parts then you can peek.
But on the other hand, if we have this reset mechanic, then the game moves a little quicker and it might be okay. And maybe the tables can turn a lot. So I have two power-ups and both of you have none. But like maybe once we flip
I've
things
got
over.
One.
Oh,
I
you
got
just
one.
Got
one.
One.
That's
right. That's right.
I'm going to give myself a silver one.
Okay.
Nice.
But when things get reset, maybe everything gets reset, or you know what I mean? Like there could be a
Yeah.
So there could be more left to chance, but more opportunities at chance, so that it's not the balance will. It will.
Yeah.
I just like it. It makes every move a little more interesting if something can happen.
Yeah.
Right. But
I gotta come up with power.
Exactly.
Yes. What is your power?
Well, I thought of two ones that would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Three, actually. Mm-hmm. Two of which are pretty OP, so they might be ones where I have to like assemble three or something. One of them would be like take a peek at the next one. One of the cards near you and put it face down again. Okay. So giving myself some knowledge. Uh-huh. Another one that occurred to me was like moving someone to a revealed tile, right?
Oh, I see.
So
I like the peak one. I think that's cool.
Yeah.
I don't fully understand the strategic implication, but I feel like that's a great mechanic for when we find a reason to use it.
Yeah.
So maybe what it can be is you can peek. Right. How do you make that? Like, you peek all the ones around you, or you peek a direction, and then
just go
there or go another direction.
Hey, because the thing is, like, if it's efficiency, right? I've got one, I peek one. If I get two, I can peek two.
Yes. Yes.
The third idea that occurred to me as a power was like the ability to move diagonally.
Oh, sure. I guess we didn't need an answer where that was possible.
Yeah. We didn't. We just kind of
assumed it wasn't, right?
Started playing and didn't move diagonally.
Yeah.
Which I think is fine.
I think we should be able to move diagonally.
Well,
because I'm locked into place.
Yeah, Steven's emotionally tied up in the game, so we can't trust his design choices right now. Ellen, I think peeking works. I think, you move, you can peek in any direction, and then you can go in that direction or not when you make your move.
That's so powerful. I'm fine with that.
I'm just saying
it's powerful.
I mean, the other thing we could explore is like the idea that some of these have charges. You know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, potentially. I mean, let's just play.
Yeah, let's just play it.
Play it out.
Okay, so I have this item. I think it's going to let me peek at one card.
Yes.
In our cardinal directions.
Yeah.
That's a pun on multiple levels now. So it wouldn't let me peek diagonally, but because I can't move diagonally right now, that wouldn't. Not
right. You could peek in any valid move that you could make.
Yeah, I can peek at the next move. It does. Yeah, I can still only move one card at a time, and it lets me peek at that card before I make my move.
Right, I think it works really well because it becomes the Monty Hall problem, right? Like you can, even though you're peeking randomly, so it's not like you have. There's very right now anyway. There's no motivation as to which one you would peek, but it doesn't matter which one you peek because then now it gives you that information to go there or somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So it's a solution to the Monty Hall problem. So I like that a lot.
Cool.
But you just collected it, so you don't get to use it until the next turn.
Right.
Steven, it's your turn. Now, Steven, you can move to a spot that is already revealed.
Not doing that.
Okay. Can you share a space with me is a question.
Oh, I assumed you could, but why?
Whoever gets there.
Well,
you have this item.
Because my next move is going to be to block you again. And where then you'll have no value.
Why would you do that?
I don't think there's any reason not to be able to occupy the same space.
I don't think so either. I think it'd be perfectly fair.
But
you see, if you know that if you go to the... So viewers or listeners can't see, but Steven's moving to the other corner of the thing.
Corners.
And so if I would... My next turn, he can anticipate that I will move to block him. Not block him, but may reveal all the cards around him, which means his next move will get him nothing. Or he could move to the position I'm at now, in which case, no matter where I go, he has a couple of options to reveal next time.
So either I get to do nothing this turn or nothing next turn.
Go ahead.
I'd rather get something now.
All right.
And also, I'm revealing a corner.
Steven doesn't know.
Oh, my God. It's a 10.
Oh, not
it
quite.
It doesn't count.
Not quite a face card. All right. All right. So then I will now move to make that.
Yeah, watch it be an item. Oh my goodness.
Okay. Not an item.
At least it wasn't an item.
Good.
Finally, some proper luck for me.
Steven, can you? Thank you. Oh my gosh, that 10 was so crooked. Yeah, Mark.
Yep. There'll be a proper grid when we, you know, fully release the game.
You know, there's only 16 cards. It's a very small grid. I definitely imagined way more, but I kind of like it at this size.
I think it should be. I think small is good because I think then it lets you have a big stack of cards that you get to replace. And that's kind of fun. Yeah. I think it'd be more fun if they're more like tiles rather than cards.
Yes, I think so, yeah.
Tiles have a nice little snap when you put them on the table.
Never mind. I'm thinking about balance and stuff. Uh-huh. Also, I'm losing, so.
So that's why you're thinking about balance?
I mean, I don't know. Maybe none of us have points yet, so.
I mean.
Okay.
Pretty apparent to me who's winning.
Ooh, so there's a lot of meta to Ellen's now peeking, or she picked the one she's peeking.
I peeked at one. Yeah, I can only peek at one.
But what's great is that where Ellen moves is going to mean something to us, because if Ellen, because we know, like, presumably we would know what powers are available in the game,
right?
And so when you don't pick that, it's like either there's nothing there or it's something you don't need.
Yeah.
But we're not going to know for certain why you didn't pick it. So right. There's a we get a little information from your next move.
But just a tantalizing a bit because yeah, you yeah. don't actually, you get information, but you don't really know what right. it means.
But if all we got was whether it's a power up or not, then it's basically like we all got to peek.
Yeah.
But you get more information than us.
Yeah. Just yeah. I am going to move here because...
it's another peek card.
It's another D, which I'm assuming this is the D's are queens.
I mean, I assume so too, but that's not the translation for queen in French. But
and
it seems to be the
triche. Yeah. D'Autriche.
Oh, you're making me do it?
Yeah.
And D'Autriche. Yeah. I think so.
She, whatever she was doing it from 1601 to 1666.
Well, everything she was doing during that time, I suspect.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah.
Everything she did it during those years.
Okay. I'm gonna move.
I'm getting a wait. We have to figure out what this means. Does this mean I get to look at two cards?
It does. It means because it's another same. You get to look at two cards now.
I think that's a good way to do it.
All right. So Steven, rather than moving to where I was, he's now moving back to where he was last turn.
Yep.
So now, what I'm going to do?
I'm already blocked.
So I have an option here. So again, listeners can't see the board, but basically, I can make a choice where I can move to another card to make another reveal for myself, or I can move along with Steven. So that, because Steven's still two turns away from a reveal, he has to move twice.
Yes.
I can get there before he does.
Yep.
So I can make an aggressive move there, or I could just let Steven live his life. And
we all know that's not going to happen.
Now, I don't know what my motivations are. Like,
sure.
I'm
not sure either.
I have my.
Pick on Steven, apparently.
Yeah.
Alan, you got to push your piece back on up here. You're on the.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
So, Steven, I could move to this card here, this unrevealed card, but it's not better because then you can move there and there, and it's diagonal to me, so I wouldn't be able to stop you.
Right.
But if I move here, then you're still two turns away, so it's not actually any better necessarily. So the question is, am I more motivated? Like, am I happy with what I have? Because I don't really know the value of it.
The interesting thing I will comment on here, from the design perspective, because I wouldn't say this as a player... because we're tied. But from a designing perspective, right now you're just focused on denying Steven. I'm tied with you. You should be coming after me.
I suppose.
Yes. Gosh.
Okay. This is the third corner to be revealed. I am one move away from it.
Right.
Like, we're going to lose.
Do all of the cards get reshuffled?
Just the ones that have been revealed. Yeah. Good point. That's right.
So if
No, never mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. So if I were to go to this space here, which is the closest revealed card to Steven, then it wouldn't get him any slower. But if you moved to the one next to it, that would actually make it difficult for me to get something next turn. So I will move just one space towards Ellen instead of towards Steven.
Thank goodness.
And I will reveal. And it's a Bupkis.
It's a nine of clubs.
Now, Steven, remember, I was making it very clear that if I had moved, you're still two turns away. I couldn't find a way to further harm you, which is why I didn't try.
Oh, so nice.
I'm telling you, I would have if I could have. Because that's been a rewarding avenue of gameplay for me so far.
Here's the thing, listeners. Yes. Mark is like, oh, I'm not competitive. I don't really like winning. But then when Steven's playing a game, he gets real competitive quick.
I need to teach you that it's not important.
It never works. I get mad every time.
Yeah.
Is it my turn? Or
I was when I do prototype games like this, or when I play test other people's games, I role play like what is the most aggressive competitive.
That's good.
I sort of can't help that because I want to like explore the boundaries of this thing, and this thing has very narrow boundaries right now. So.
Yeah. All the cool game devs are on Twitter.
I heard that.
We're also on Twitter. I don't know if we're cool.
Yeah, all the cool game devs and us.
All the cool game devs are on Twitter, and we're there too.
Yeah.
Coincidentally, we're there because we want to hang out with peeps, and you're one of them. Wow, I just said peeps. It's a clear indicator that I'm not cool. But you can talk to me on Twitter anyway, and it would actually probably be really fun. I'm not particularly active on my Twitter. Sometimes I tweet pictures of my dog. Sometimes I tweet quotes from Mark. Sometimes I retweet things that are fun. I might be tweeting a poll about what game I should play next in the next few weeks after I finish the one that I'm currently on. But you know who is really, really active on Twitter? It's Dale. Dale is active on Twitter. She tweets lots of cool stuff from the Nice Games Club account. So if you're bored with the crickets that are on my Twitter account, thanks for visiting anyway. And you should go check out Nice Games Club.
Yeah, Dale will scour the internet for fun game dev stuff, like memes and fun little things that you might have missed. Also stuff about the show. Yeah. But not only that, you know, when you follow Nice Games Club, you become a little closer to the Nice Games Club family. Mm-hmm. And like Dale is going to, you know, see your stuff. And so it's a way to sort of engage. And if you've got something cool, send it our way. And Dale will likely retweet it for you.
Yeah.
Because we do like to see what our listeners are making and just what everybody out there is putting together. And so that's, for that reason alone, you should follow us on Twitter. But there's plenty of other reasons, of course, show news. Dale is also really into cats, so you'll get a lot of that content. And if you hear at the end of the show, we always mention an example, and they always seem so outlandish, but every one of them is worth checking out.
Yeah.
So this one conveniently has to do with cats. So.
Yeah. It's not all cats, right? Dale also looks into like game industry news, and she tweets out some game dev resources and so on and so forth. And but yeah, it's social media, like connect and share stuff. We want to see your stuff and share your stuff, and it'll help us feel like we're cool.
Yeah, we've dragged this middle portion of the show on long enough, but there's one more point I want to make, which is, you know, recently we had Holly Harrison on the show talking about sort of ethical consumption and ethical game dev. And one of the things that we like to do through our Twitter account is express like how we feel the industry should work, and the cite examples of things that we find positive. And so that's not a pitch to follow us. That's maybe an example that we like to set, and hopefully you will agree and follow, is just to highlight some of the best stuff and not just the most, you know, like attention-grabbing stuff, the most high-profile stuff, the most popular stuff, the stuff that fits the philosophy here at Nice Games Club. So if you want to get to know us a little bit better, what we think about things you don't hear us talk about on the show, part of that expression comes through on our Twitter account. So it's a good way to get to know us a little bit better, because Dale is a good mouthpiece for this program.
Yes, you can follow us at Nice Games.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
I do enjoy how simple the choices are. Just pick a direction to move. I suppose your abilities.
Yeah, it really leans into the sort of abstract strategy of it. Like, it's just you have like one choice, but there's a lot to your choice.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
That really, I like that a lot. It is Ellen's turn.
Okay, I'm going to use... I can look at two cards
now.
You
can peek twice, and there are two open cards near you.
It's an advantageous thing to do.
Yeah. I need to look at Ellen's face to read her, see.
I'm going to move to this third corner card.
Okay.
And this third corner card is an R. We have not had an R yet.
Wow.
Okay, what does this mean?
It's Louis XIV with the big wig. And the nice block heel. A long time, heels were a male fashion item, not for women. And we took that shit because it's awesome. Oh, I forgot not to swear. Okay. We haven't had an R yet, so we have to decide what an R does.
Well, weirdly, in our playtest here, Ellen, you have two of the same, and I have two of the same, but they're different. Mm-hmm. Whereas that's not a very good, sort of an inefficient, to use a phrase, use of our testing, because we want to be combine these. So now that we have the opportunity for a third one, let's think about the two we've created already and how this third one might fit with those.
Yeah.
Yeah. Initially, I was thinking like, oh, what if, you know, what if you... Okay, so here's an idea. Mm-hmm. So you could, I could totally see like there's like a manual of color combinations or something. Yeah. And the different color combinations you have in groups of three result in different things. And so right. like if you get three silvers, that means you look at three cards. Okay, that's yeah. simple. But if you get two silvers and a red, then that means something else.
That's what I was saying earlier.
That is.
Yeah.
And you were both saying it was complicated.
It is complicated, but we're on this path now, I guess.
Well, and now it's more justified now. It makes sense.
Yeah.
I just wasn't thinking as many steps ahead as you were, Mark.
Weren't recklessly thinking that far.
I guess. Well, I think the other thing too is like how to think about the different color combinations. Like that grid could get really big, really fast.
Yeah. This could be like we're building we ultimately don't want to be using a deck of cards.
Yeah.
Although honestly, we could make this a game you could play with a deck of cards. And like pretzel pieces or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that could be our goal. And so we could constrain ourselves that way. I'm not sure that I want to, but yeah. that's an option. And in which case we have, you know, four suits, three face cards, if you can. And so that could be our design constraints. And then that could help us decide how many is too many of a or whatever, blah, blah, blah. But aside from that, we could also make it, like you're saying, a combination, like three. It could be a building a hand, right? Or building sets. Then when you refresh the cards, you keep playing until you get certain numbers of sets, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. There's a lot of ways we could do it.
But that kind of implies the 52 card thing. And I want to make sure we're not totally nailed to it if we don't want it.
Well, I like the idea of having the thing that my brain is, glomming onto, that is now a loaded term. The thing that my brain is latching onto is the cards are the space and the tokens are the items.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you can build essentially hands of items.
Right.
And the different combinations of colors of hands of item tokens will result in your items doing different, more complicated things. Mm-hmm. But they could also do, like, it could be if you end up with two silvers and a red, that is a broken item and you can't, it just dies.
Right. There's things you don't want for a reason.
Right.
And the theming of that could be about, like, you... If it's a game where you're running around the garden, maybe these are face cards, but maybe just for inspiration of that, maybe you find people hiding, mm-hmm. which would also explain why when you refresh them, they move around. Mm-hmm. And maybe and then you take them along with you. Mm-hmm. And then, but you can't have James and Alice together because they don't get along.
Yeah.
Or something.
Something like that. You know? Yeah. Or like, I don't know. Yeah. I'm not sure. But when I was thinking of that, like if the red one, combined with two silvers would become like a defunct object. Uh-huh. It also led me to the question, like, do I have to pick up the item if I reveal one?
I would say yes. Yeah. Just in terms of simplicity. I think that then there's fewer choices you have to make, which reduces the complexity.
I say yes. Because if you make a mistake, then I can catch up.
Yeah, right.
Well, the alternative is I don't have to pick up the item and it just stays here revealed and you guys can rush to get it.
Oh, I suppose that's
well, true. I think it provides value to the peeking in this sense, because if you peek and you know it's something that you don't want or that would hurt you, then you stay away from it. And then that gives us the information to know, to make another guess as to what might be under
that. Yeah, okay.
If you don't have to, then there's really no information about it.
Now it makes me feel like we're a bunch of elementary school students who've been told to go pick up the playground. and we're just finding junk.
Yeah.
Which is also kind of a cool theme.
Yeah.
Okay. So I got this red one. Mm-hmm. And I would say, just for the heck of it, just to play out this idea a little bit more.
Yes.
Let's say that red one combined with two silver breaks my item or gets rid of the room. You can't move through it.
Oh.
Oh, like knocks off that space.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's what red... Maybe what you can do with red is you can leave the token behind and that room is off limits until it gets cycled.
Can we decide what the power is on its own first?
I think that's what Ellen is...
That's proposed. What you mean. Is that...
Yeah, either...
Oh, it's not in combination with...
Yeah, I'm not... Yeah, I don't know. So maybe... Okay, so let's...
I mean, because a diagonal is sitting in front of us.
That's true.
Maybe how about this? maybe it's because we don't necessarily want to maintain a complicated chart of all the possible combinations. Mm-hmm. Maybe it could be one of, because we have three types now. Maybe mm-hmm. Ace is a fourth type. Maybe it's special. Maybe it's not a face card in our consideration.
Yeah.
One of each does something. Three of a kind does something. Two and one does something else. That then it's easy to remember, right? So if you, once you get three, something triggers. Mm-hmm. And what triggers depends on what combination of three you have.
Maybe
three of the same type, two of one and one another, or one of all three.
Yeah.
Then
maybe that, one of all three is the victory condition.
Yeah, that's really good.
I don't know.
Well, didn't we talk about the end game state being you get through the whole deck?
Yeah.
Oh, is that the end game state?
Okay.
But not necessarily
once,
victory.
Once okay. you get three, yeah. you okay. get like a point. You bank a point.
Yeah.
But you lose all your powers.
Yes.
Right? That okay. that stack of three turns into a victory point.
Yes.
And then you can keep playing.
Okay.
If you, the three combinations, one of each, two of one, one other, or yep. all three of a kind.
Yep.
One of those should be wipe the board. Right? And that would happen earlier than uncovering all of them. Like when you uncover all of them, then the board is wiped.
Okay.
And then one of them can be, well, I don't know what the other two would be. The only thing I think about is that one of those combinations would be like preemptively wiping the board.
Yeah, I think lots of ideas were introduced in the last 60 seconds and I'm not processing them all.
Okay.
So let's play more.
Okay, so the king gives you diagonal.
Yeah.
We'll say.
Let's say, king, which is going to be red.
Right. But you now do have three. So we can, if that's what we want to do, three gives you some combination or something happens when you get three.
Yeah, that's interesting. See, I thought our initial win condition was just like get as many of these little doodads as you could.
Yeah.
But then you become so powerful when you have more of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. There needs to be some kind of way to reset your power. Yeah.
But also it means that Steven doesn't have any points, but like you don't have any points either. Because or you just have one point and I don't have any. Right. So I'm not actually like Steven and I'm not actually that far ahead of Steven. I have two powers. I'm likely to find that third one, but just by nature of luck, Steven might catch up to get three before I do.
Let's do that. So let's say you get three dots and then you can bank that. You lose your powers. Mm-hmm. Like if I kept these, I would have two powers.
Yeah.
Right. But I also don't have any points. And
oh, but you don't have to bank them.
Right.
And then what happens is instead of three of a kind, one of each, only one of those conditions matters. So once you get one of each, then something happens. But you can collect as many as you want until you get one of each.
I mean, yes, unless we don't want to do it that way. I'm not sure I'm following every step that you're taking. Like,
I'm if you can just collect as many powers as you want, or you can bank them, why would you ever bank them until the end of the game?
Maybe because it takes your turn to bank it.
Right, and if you don't do it before, but then you're kind of just...
If you get three of them, you're automatically banking them, right?
Well, that's
automatically getting points.
That's what we were saying, but Ellen was proposing maybe that's a choice you make. You can keep your powers or you can bank. And I was thinking that ties kind of into what I was saying about how the combinations, we don't have to come up with three different things that happen. Let's just come up with one thing that happens, some big thing that happens, if any player gets one of each.
Yes.
But so the idea was you would want to bank to avoid that from happening. But then you don't bank because you get to keep your powers, but it's risky. Because then the next move you make might give you...
Well, not if you can peek.
Well, maybe if you... But if it's the only valid move you can make, perhaps.
Well...
But that's not... You can go through... It's not fully sound yet.
It's not. And that's the thing.
Okay. That's what we're doing.
I think we got to pick something and then just test
it. All I know is I'm going to move here because I've only got one thing I want to do.
Right. Because
that's the only thing I could be
doing. You want to go to that corner.
Yeah.
Because we're playing with that still. That the corners will reset.
Please don't remove that from me.
Okay.
That's all I have.
Yeah, that's you're personally motivated for that to be the rule.
Uh-huh.
I understand. All right, I'm going to move two spaces.
Okay.
To a unrevealed card, and it is
an ace.
One.
You have got
it's an ace. Yeah.
Which we've decided isn't a thing.
Well, we were going to guess that it's not a thing, but let's say it's not a thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Fine.
I mean, or I can have another power. If
no,
you want.
I don't want you to have more. No, actually, if we were to make it so that you only have three, and it would make you have a point, then you would have no point. Then you have no powers, which I would prefer.
Yeah, but there's a lot. There's some unanswered things here, but we're operating under the assumption
that we'll just
when you have three, you don't have to bank it.
Yeah,
but you can.
I'm thinking that when you have three, you don't have to bank it, but you can.
And you lose a turn for it.
Well, maybe not. But what I was gonna maybe okay, maybe sure, they'll lose a turn. Sure, I'm not sure if we need to do lose a turn bank, but the thing I was going to bring up next is maybe a deciding factor in whether we want to do that. And that is, when you get a fourth one, you have to bank three.
Oh, you can't have more than, you can't have more than
three. I mean, that's, that is kind of what I was saying, but it's, but there's no risk reward to it. Right. I like that. I'm like, I'm trying to plug the holes of like, if you don't have to bank it, why would you choose not to? Mm-hmm. And it might be because you, but why is it a good idea to choose to do it? And if it's because when you get four, you have to, then the correct choice is to never bank it. Always.
Right.
Because
it's always going to be right. So I don't know. The more that we talk about it, the more I'm thinking that the thing we should test is it takes a turn to bank your three and you have to bank in order to get victory points.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Either way, I'm making the same decision.
Yeah. 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 So I think we've been doing a lot of talking.
Yeah.
And I want to get to playing to see actually how that stuff plays out.
No, I know. And what I'm doing is when we come up with an idea, I'm like, I don't want to test that idea because it's a fourth of an idea. We won't learn anything from it. I want to test that idea with something. Mm-hmm. That's always my motivation is to, that's why I'm trying to find the second half to that.
And I have the exact opposite instinct, which is like, it's a fourth of an idea and it will become a tenth, become a whole idea after we play it. So play faster and test it faster.
I just want to win.
Yep.
So right, Ellen, take your turn. So I can not win.
Now, Steven's going to reset the board and there's only one card, unrevealed card you can go to and you were able to peek it. So now your choice is whether you want it or not, assuming it's a face card. And that's going to depend on what would happen if you get your fourth one or would it be, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's some things you don't know yet, but, you know, you can pretend that there's a motivation.
Right. So my assumption is Steven is going to hit the corner next, the last corner that's unrevealed. And when he does that, then it's going to trigger the board cycling.
Yeah.
And, I have the choice between going to one of the two cards that I can reveal. I revealed one card and I revealed a second card. So I one of those is within my
reach. Wait a second. That second one you looked at is not a valid move.
Oh, no, you're totally right. I can't because it's not adjacent to me. I'm sorry.
We caught her. We caught her cheating, Steven.
Yeah, in the game we didn't finish. Yeah,
the game we haven't written the rules on.
Right.
That is, in fact, the reason I went to the space I did.
Yeah.
So that you would not be able to peek at it.
So I forgot what that was. So I can go here or I can use my diagonal and just go bother Mark, which I'm going to do.
Cool. Hey, what's up?
Yep.
We're hanging out here in this ace.
I use my...
Oh, right. You got diagonal.
Yeah. I use my diagonal power.
All right. What does that one say, Steven?
Flip it.
Oh, my
God. Oh, no powers for Steven.
Steven's really unlucky this round.
Yeah. Okay. So Steven has reached the last of the four corners.
Yes.
And so what we're going to do now is all the revealed cards of the 4x4, we're going to take off the board. The ones that we have not yet revealed, we're going to leave in exactly the place they were at. Except the one Ellen peeked at. We're going to cycle that one out.
Oh, yeah.
But just pretend that's the same card. And then we'll replace...
You can shuffle it back in, actually. Shuffle it back in.
Yeah. Okay. And then we'll replace all of the cards that we've done. And then and we all are remain on the same spot.
Yeah.
And maybe it's revealed right away.
What's revealed right away?
Like the card, the ones we're standing on?
I disagree with that. I think you need to take two turns to get that revealed.
I think that I agree with Steven.
Okay. It feels thematically weird, but okay. We'll go with that.
Or you just don't... Or you don't cycle the ones that you're on.
The ones you're standing on?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be okay.
Well, I already did that. Though,
that's okay.
So. Yeah.
You gotta cycle these four.
I can't reach those.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you hand me those four to place, I promise I won't look at them.
Actually, I do like the idea of the ones you don't replace the ones you're standing on because it, like, visually, it would look, in, it looks strange that everything is completely wiped out, you know?
Yeah.
And that would also give you a reason for you to go to the space I was at, so more cards could get cycled.
Yeah, yeah. I think the next time we cycle it, we should do that. The ones.
It's
that...
not too late to do it now if we like that idea.
No, it's too late. We put them all back in there.
Well, I mean, we could just.
Well, we know what they are.
It's fine.
I already forgot.
We'll just.
Oh no, that was an ace. And that was a two.
Yes. They were both nothing essentially. So they could just be whatever.
So it doesn't matter.
Okay.
So let's do that because I think that would.
Okay.
Because it also solves the problem of like.
They don't have to be.
Then we don't have to worry about using a turn to reveal the card you're standing on. It simplifies it.
You know? I would rather people have to use a turn to reveal the card.
Shuffle that,
to be honest, but
shuffle that back.
That's because I'm behind.
Well, in my original plan was that it's automatically revealed, which means you'd have a shot at a thing.
Oh, but then everybody has a shot at the
thing. Oh, and Steven doesn't want that.
No, I don't.
He doesn't want even.
But in that same logic, if you two are on the same card, who gets the card that you revealed?
Maybe that would be nobody in that case. But I prefer this, where it's just those cards don't get cycled.
No. Yeah, I like that too.
Okay, I went. That was my
turn. All right, you went, so now it is my turn. Yeah, and so we retain our same abilities as we go. So I am going to move here, which is right next to Steve. Just gives him
deja vu.
Yeah.
Why?
It doesn't do much to you. You still have spaces.
Just remember who your friends are, Steve.
Well, part of this is I'm demonstrating some arbitrary. Like, where else would I go? Like, what else? There's no. You know
yeah,
I mean?
I guess
there's no other. Much. There's no other interest.
It's a small garden. Yeah.
Well, yeah. You could have denied Ellen, who has more points.
I could not have.
Well, you.
Because there, she can go to any of the eight cards around. Yeah, so I would just take one of those options from her, and because I can't peek, wouldn't matter to me.
Okay. Well, I'm not going there.
It's Ellen's turn. Yes. Ellen has two peek abilities and can go diagonally.
Oh my goodness!
I uncovered a V, which gives me a gold token.
Ellen now has one of each, and if that had anything to happen, this is when it would happen. But we're not playing with that yet. So.
Okay, I know that we are limited in time, but we should make it so that almost every card gives you something. Because it's like, this is like playing...
Steven's like, I didn't get anything
yet. I haven't gotten any! Okay, but no, seriously though, this is like playing Star Trek Ascendancy and all of the planets, almost all the planets do nothing for you.
Yeah. Well, this is why I want the refreshing should happen frequently. Like,
sure. Well, that's why, it needs the four corners thing.
Well, I was thinking that it'd be all the cards unless you have one of each that would trigger a refresh or something.
I suppose, but the players who have powers are going to be able to trigger refreshes more frequently and more intentionally than the player who does not have that.
How about then, when the board is reset, you have to bank everything you've got. So in my case, I would, because let's say you need three tokens of any kind for a point.
Yeah.
Then I would bank my two here and I would have nothing. And so Stephen, we'd each have zero.
Okay.
Ellen, who had four, would get 1 point.
Sure.
And then the next round would begin with no powers.
I'm not really seeing efficiency then, but
yeah, I agree with that. But I think, to address Stephen's concern about like staying in far behind, it'd be a case of like trying to engineer a situation where Stephen doesn't feel like he's actually losing to me in this specific scenario.
Or at least it feels like he can come back.
It's a tough thing because I think partly because we're talking so much and not playing as much.
Being scolded a little bit.
it is a podcast, so I understand. But like Steven is spending a lot of time in this state.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And so
more than he would in a
regular game.
Okay. Is it my turn?
Yeah, I just went.
Yes, it is.
Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and reveal a thing. It's gonna be numbers. Wow, I'm shocked. It's numbers.
Yeah. All right, I will move as well.
Let's change the aces to be power cards. You get to choose which one.
Oh, I like that.
Okay.
It's pretty good.
Okay.
Not retroactively applied, of course.
No.
No, because you revealed that.
I will go to this corner.
Oh, my goodness.
I got an ace. Cool, 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 cool.
I'm feeling your feels now, Steven.
Ow, you're in the lead.
I'm still feeling it because that just happened.
Yeah.
It's like, here's this new idea. We should have this be a power card. Yeah. Oh, Mark revealed the power card. I'm surprised.
I've been working really hard to make me not be beating Steven. No. Now it's too late now.
You've been working really hard to also beat me.
Technically, you're not beating Steven because you don't have any victory points.
That's true. I'll take a peak power, whichever.
Silver.
Silver. Thank you. Thank you. Ellen, you're up.
I'm going to bank.
Okay.
And I'm going to keep, I've got a bank three, and I'm going to keep my silver peak power. So I'm going to put that over here, and I'm going to use, what are these cards called again?
Hanafuda cards.
Hanafuda cards. I'm gonna
they're just Hanafuda. I think Hanafuda. The literal translation is playing cards.
Okay, sure. Hanafuda. I'm getting a Hanafuda, and that is going to...
Right, it's like an ATM machine.
Yeah.
It's like, symbolize
it's okay. Yeah.
One victory point.
Okay.
So. And that's my turn, because I took a turn to bank.
Right. Yeah, and I'm consumed with why you would do that now instead of later, but...
And that's why, one of the reasons why I think there should be something out there that wipes people's powers.
Yeah, yeah.
Or lets people steal objects.
Yeah. Maybe the ace is just you lose a power.
Yeah, yeah.
Not retroactively.
Dang it.
But it's pretty rare, so, you know, it has to be a bigger risk than that.
Yeah.
Or maybe ace is you take someone else's. Maybe we don't have to figure, but there should be something like that.
Ace, you can take someone else's.
Sure. I moved and I got a three.
Okay. I will move, and I'm going to go to the other corner, and so now all four corners are revealed.
Oh, you could peek, you know.
Oh, well, whatever.
I mean, it's too late now, but
I forgot. So, yeah. No, I'm doing this to demonstrate the limits of this.
Like, oh, sure.
Now we replace them, but not much has changed really. but we will replace the cards that were not standing.
Oh, those are the four corners. You're right. My bad. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I did not even recognize what happened.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Well, what is kind of interesting is that Ellen and I are standing on two corners, which means that we're already pretty close to replacing them again. So maybe the goal here is that this is just a way to cycle through cards faster.
Yeah. So, I mean, the end of the game is when you get through the whole deck.
Yeah. So that's the motivation to go for that.
That's
what I'm testing here is like, why might someone do this on purpose?
Well, if you were in the lead, it would make sense. It doesn't. I mean, you could bank right now and then you'd be tied. But
no, it's too late. I made a move.
Okay. So.
Yeah, okay. I'm not trying to play optimally at this point. I'm just trying to
test it out. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're finding the edges of the mm-hmm. garden or
yep.
what playground that we're cleaning up or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you don't bank the cart, if you don't bank your points.
Like once the game is over. Yeah.
Then you don't get points for those.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the reason why you want to do it a little mm-hmm. bit.
So as you collect a bunch of these, or as Ellen does rather, we won't, then you bank them because you have more than you need. Or toward the end of the game, you panic and you bank the ones you should have banked earlier.
I feel like there should be at least you can only bank like one per turn. You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I agree.
Right. So you can only bank one set of three.
So you have to just be like, you can't have too many because you know it will take you three turns to bank them all.
Yeah.
And you don't know if there's three turns left in the game or something. Right. Or you don't know when three.
Yeah. Well, you're looking at the deck of cards and you're going, oh my God.
And if you got a peek or you have two peaks and the things around you aren't that interesting, you can. You know,
well, and the more things you have, the faster the game goes. It creates that tension between these two polar opposites, right? The more objects powers you have spread in front of you, the more you can look and cycle through cards. Mm-hmm. The faster the game goes, meaning the less time you have to bank.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Cool. Man, this is starting to hang together.
Yeah,
good.
Thematically, that's for me playing out with these kids cleaning up the playground is you're playing with the junk instead of putting it in the bag, and the more junk you have. That you don't have in your bag, the more the teacher's going to yell at you.
Yeah. Oh, that's fun.
I don't know. Okay.
So it is now your turn, Ellen.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay. So I spent my last turn banking. So yep. I have one silver power.
That's your peak ability. So I can peak one card next to you.
Oh, wow. I'm kind of stuck between a Mark and a Steven here. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go towards Steven.
Because I can't do anything about it.
Well, I was going to peak towards Steven. I think I'll actually end up going towards Mark.
Oh, okay.
And I revealed a six. Okay. Means okay. Nothing.
Moving. It's going to be numbers. Mm-hmm. It's numbers.
So, Steven, you moved to where your next move would be the one that Ellen just peaked, which she rejected.
I didn't move towards that. I just moved towards the corner.
Right. But now your turn, these are your only two options.
Yes.
Whereas if you'd move this way, you'd have many more options.
I don't need more options.
It's closer to you, though. Okay. It's closer to you, Mark.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, having more options is not that beneficial if none of the options will give you what you need.
So. Sure. Well, that's what I'm thinking about. Like how bad is it to corner yourself if like you might, it's an arbitrary choice. One is better than five.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. I'm going to peek at the corner that I left previously because I can move back to it because I know Steven going to that corner.
How could you peek there?
Because I have, it's a valid move.
It's a valid move.
Oh, you can peek in any valid move?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
One.
That's.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Fine. That's the corner. Oh, you can't tell me. What am I asking?
Now, see, that was a potential that I'd want to go to because I know, Steven, you're going to go to the fourth corner on your next turn. You could go to the one that Ellen pieced earlier, but I don't think you will.
I don't want
so to. This would be a way for me to sort of guarantee another. Although I'm no longer need to no longer test that. But it seems like you can, if you're motivated and you've got two golds, you can just start, you know, wiping the board really clean. So it'd be like a powerful late game thing. You have like 2 points and everyone else has like a couple of things, they haven't banked them yet. You can just start going real quick. In any case, I'm not going to go to that one. I'm going to go to this one, which is two away. And it is D, whatever D is.
I know, right?
Was D. That's,
that is peak.
Silver.
Marie Antoinette.
Mm-hmm. Is that Steven?
It's yours,
my turn? Okay. Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I still have my silver, so I'm going to peek. And I'm going to move where I peaked.
I moved to the corner.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing.
What the heck?
I knew it was going to be.
It's your
nothing.
Defeatist attitude, is why it's always nothing. It is a strange bit of luck.
No, it's because y'all have abilities so you can more. Well, I don't know about Mark.
Honestly,
actually, you've only had movement until the last couple of turns.
Yeah, I only used peak once, so yeah. Ellen's had more advantage, but even with her ability to peak, it hasn't granted her. Because in the last board, everything near her was a thing.
Yeah.
So she would have likely gotten maybe one fewer if she didn't even have the ability to peek. So I think a lot of it has been luck. The question is like, how much does it add up, the more advantage, how much of a spiral is it, you know?
I think it adds up.
I don't, yeah. I mean, you're feeling it.
No,
I don't know,
no, actually, I take it back. The reason why, part of the reason why I haven't been able to do, I haven't gotten any points is because you've been denying me. You're just playing the game. So I'm not mad about it or anything. But like, it don't sound mad, do I?
Maybe a little.
No, but even so, I deny you cards that I don't know if they're useful or not. So like, it's
no, you denied me the opportunity to search for cards.
Just that one time.
It was a few times. Like, I spent a bunch of turns moving over to get the corner so I can reset the board.
You have wasted exactly two turns doing that.
Well, yeah, two turns. That's two turns of not getting cards. That's sure. what I'm saying. Nobody else has done that. So, yeah. Because I'm so limited in my movement, and I can't peek at stuff. Yeah. So I'm just
But the number of cards you actually have flipped over is... Two is it's compared to us, obviously.
Yeah.
But it's not, like... It's like
I'm not going to say luck is not a factor. I'm just saying that, like, I am disadvantaged because I don't have any abilities.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay, I did my thing. It is your turn.
Okay, so I'm going to go here. This 9, which is nothing. So, Steven, this is where you staying in the corner as the defender, because I can now block you again next round.
Right.
And just by moving one space at a time, not using any of my powers.
Yeah.
And I forgot to peek again, so that was... Whoops.
Yeah, that's fine. Oh, it's not
I could have peeked twice. I'm just not paying enough attention.
It's your turn. You can peek at the corners now, I guess.
I can. Mm-hmm. Just thinking. What did we decide aces do again?
Anything you want.
Oh, we haven't
take away from you.
Oh no, that's right. You take a power from someone else now.
Is that or is that they, I lose a power?
We're changing the rules as we go, but I think what we decided was that either you lose one or you take someone from something else. I think losing one. I mean, now I'm speaking. You would take one from me, and you're already winning. But like, I don't remember what we agreed to or what we thought was a good idea.
We didn't agree on anything.
We didn't. I don't think,
we decided it was too rare to be that useful, and we wanted something less rare for this to happen.
I don't remember
for
that.
People to lose powers, but
what is our goal for the ace card? Because y'all were talking about it when I kept flipping numbers.
It should feel it should feel like a mine you step on.
Okay,
right.
You want to disadvantage the player who stepped on it?
I guess, but Ellen peeked at it, so obviously she would.
I chose to go there.
She would not choose to go there if that's what it was. So we can decide that and then just
we'll do
make
it
Ellen immune from it or something.
That's fine. I mean, I'm obviously biased again, but I would like it to be a blue shell, or not a blue shell, sorry. I want it to be
a blue shell.
Lightning bolt. No, lightning bolt.
So you want to give everybody else a power?
No, I want to get a power, or I want to take powers away from y'all and give me a power.
Mm, when you hit an ace.
So,
yes.
Yeah, I guess, but... That feels too powerful to give to someone in the lead, and not powerful enough to give someone who's not in the lead.
Oh no, I'm sorry. Let me be more specific. Yes. I want you two to lose powers.
So you,
I want to gain a power.
You want when Ellen stepped on that.
Yes.
You want it to benefit only you.
Yeah.
That's not how any of this could work.
Why not?
And that would be a blue shell. It'd be the it defeats the person's in the
lead.
Well,
no,
lightning defeats everybody. But you.
Yeah. That's what
but
all
you,
I know.
You didn't land on it. So
I want it to, as though I landed on it.
Oh, so
give me the benefit.
Okay, I know this is all fun and games, but Steven, this is not logical.
Well, why not?
Because Ellen landed on it.
Yeah, so.
So why do you benefit and not me?
Because I'm losing. Fine, all right, I don't know what it does.
I mean, that's a balance on spreadsheet kind of thing.
Well,
but there's no mechanic, there's no connection mechanically to
it. I obviously I'm biased, but also my motivations are if somebody is having experience that I'm having where they just do not have any powers, there needs to be some form of a catch-up mechanic. Mm-hmm. I think that people who have powers are, you know, advantaged.
Right, and so so in this case, like, if Ellen steps on this, then it should like stepping on an A should wipe you clean. Like, you lose all your
things.
Everything you didn't bank is gone.
The thing is because, like, if I landed on that, I'd get nothing out of it. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. You wouldn't lose anything.
Yeah, but that's not a benefit. It's just a number card.
Right, so it's not a risk to you.
Right.
It's a risk to someone in the lead. That's the balance mechanic.
That's not a balance mechanic. I don't get any benefit out of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, you do, comparatively to the field.
I get... Okay, in this situation, if I landed on that thing, I get literally nothing out of it. And no, I guess the benefit of it is nobody else will land on that thing. So it actually benefits everybody else because they know that thing that threat is gone.
Sure.
What I want it to do is I want it to harm. I want it to disadvantage people who are in the lead in some way.
Right.
Regardless of who lands on it.
Regardless. You want it to be like a global thing.
It needs to affect other people because otherwise... The people who are, you know, the people, me, are disadvantaged, and they stay disadvantaged.
Sure. So you want it to hurt Ellen, but also hurt me.
I mean, yeah, it makes it sound bad. It makes it sound like I just want to, you know, mess y'all up. But I'm saying we need some kind of a comeback mechanic.
I mean,
this could be the mechanism.
So strategically, like if Ellen's got a ton of tokens,
yep.
and I have two tokens,
yep.
and one of them's peak, and yep. I see one of them is that,
yep.
I could sacrifice what I have. Well, no, because if I'm landing on it, it doesn't hurt me. Well, no, it hurts everybody who's not, whatever. It wipes everybody out, let's just say it wipes everybody out.
Okay.
In that case, I might choose to do it, even though it hurts me, because it hurts Ellen more.
Potentially.
Depending on...
Yeah, I'm trying to justify this mechanically. Like, why would this make sense? Why would it be something you'd want to do unless you were in last place?
I was just thinking of it as a blue shell catch-up mechanic.
Yeah.
So that's why I wasn't justifying it in that way.
but it could be that when Ellen lands on it, it's a landmine that Ellen steps on.
And okay.
It hurts Ellen. That would do that.
It would do that for Ellen, but if I landed on it, it would do nothing. That's what I'm saying.
Right, it would do nothing. And if I'm already in the lead, it's because I have powers that will also help me not
avoid
step on
those.
The better you, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. That's why I'm proposing this thing.
I mean, could it just be a thing that when you whoever activates it, it takes a token from whoever has the most tokens and gives it to the person who has the least tokens?
Right. It's just it's like that, what's that space on Mario Party games where it's just the chance time.
Yeah.
Chance time.
What I'm trying to avoid is something where it's like, this is just a matter of balancing our checkbook.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't feel like gameplay to me at all.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If it wipes everybody out, then there's lots of strategy involved.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm comfortable with that, too.
Yeah.
Well,
but if it's just like, let's even the scores once we... That's just like, you know, this is the accountant card or something. I just don't like that.
Okay.
Let's wipe it out. It's a wipeout card.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's do it.
All right. So, Ellen, you accidentally landed on it.
Or I decided I wanted to see the
something. Yeah.
Well, actually, Ellen is winning. So, like,
I am.
It is actually advantageous.
Right. I'm wiping
out. Also, it gives you motivation to take the turn and you get the points back.
Right.
If that card exists and you can get wipe them out.
You can gain your. Right. Exactly. So, you can gain lots of tokens and get lots of powers. And when that happens, then it's more of a. You have to decide when you're going to bank it or when you want to
keep
your powers.
Okay, so that's the other reason why it's a... So this solves my earlier problem of like, why would you ever want to bank it until you mathematically determine you have to?
Yeah. Right.
It's to prevent that risk.
Yep.
It also lets interact with each other by seeing someone's got three tokens and I peaked at that card. I'm going to lose my four tokens, but I've already got a point, which is Ellen, your situation.
That's exactly what I just did.
Exactly.
Yeah, I had two tokens and a card.
Right.
You had four tokens.
So retroactively, that's why you would have chosen that, perhaps.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
And it works in my favor because now no one has powers.
So, right, no one has any powers.
Steven is not as grumpy. Yeah. And that is that is an outcome we want from this game.
Yes.
Correct. This is not a game to make people grumpy. Mm-hmm. That's called cribbage.
Okay, so that was your turn, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, it was my turn.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my turn, so it's Steven's turn.
It is. Okay. Yep. I'm gonna go.
Steven, now with a newfound sense of equality.
Oh my goodness, I landed on a thing.
Oh man.
What's the art?
Everything is fixed.
Everything is fixed.
Oh yeah, no, sorry, I gave you the wrong one.
Diagonal.
He's not happy.
No. Okay, at least I got a coin. Uh-huh. All right. I can't move diagonal. All of those are blocked. Yeah. So.
Now see, I don't have my move two or three.
Yeah.
So my move here to block you doesn't help me a lot. Because one, I know what's here.
Oh,
and I can move here to prevent you from getting something next turn.
Yeah.
But then if I need to get, I'd go this way.
Yeah.
So, my plan was to go there and just bounce away.
But he can block you, but he's also then not blocking me.
Right. And Ellen, you don't have anything either. We've all been wiped out. So I can block you successfully.
Mm-hmm. Choose wisely.
Yeah. So I think that is what I'm going to do. I'm going to move near Ellen, and all the spaces around Ellen are revealed now. And unfortunately, nothing.
Okay.
Okay, now it's me. Yep. So
mm-hmm.
I'm going to go towards the fourth corner.
Oh, okay.
But I did not reveal a card, so.
I will move towards the corner as well.
Mm-hmm.
It is another number.
Okay. I'm going to move one space away. Reveal also nothing. And Ellen, it looks like you are going to, you can trigger or you could not. There's only one card unrevealed otherwise.
Yeah, I'm going to trigger the cycling.
Okay. So nothing. Just something.
Number card.
So the cards we're standing on, stay put. There's only one unrevealed card on the board currently. I mean, we've been designing this around this deck of cards, but like it wouldn't be a bad... I'm not against making this a game that anyone can play. That it's not something that's sold in a box.
I mean, I
like it being
like, and then any rule changes we make would be geared towards the, because it's all arbitrary anyway. So we might as well constrain it towards that and make it something that is just infinitely print and play. We've got enough nice games jams that we're interested in putting in a box and
All you need is like some things. Yeah. You need some doodads.
Yeah, the tokens and meeples are a thing that like you'd need. Stuff
need some
for,
coins or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Or I silverware.
Mean, you know, we could think of a lot of advantages to what you know. What can we do that by having a custom set of tiles or something?
Yeah. But
partly because of the way we've been constrained now, mm-hmm. I don't think we've come up with much that mm-hmm. would require.
I move in diagonal because I have the ability to do it.
Okay.
It's a waste of time.
Well, no. We know there's a 10 there.
Yep. And now I have fewer options.
Yeah. Oh, so you're doing unto Mark what he did unto you. Mm-hmm. So out of that entire grid, only one was a face card.
Wow. That's something.
Yeah. So maybe that means the next one will just be like a bonanza.
Yeah.
And we're
that
gonna...
kind of variability is actually kind of fun.
Yeah.
Right? Because mm-hmm. the you could have a all face cards or nothing, like just the... I guess that's probably why a lot of games do that, mm-hmm. face cards and non-face cards. That's about an interest. It's an interesting... Ooh. So now what's happened here is that there are not enough cards in the deck to fill out the garden.
I don't know how that works.
Let's shuffle some more back in.
Well, here's the question. Is the end of the game is when we go through all the cards. So maybe we need a mechanism by which to have... by which to not use new cards, not shuffle the deck and add more cards.
I think we just shuffle. Well, we can come up with that later, but for now, I say we shuffle the deck, fill out the rest of the garden, and then that's the last garden.
Okay.
Yeah.
It feels a little strange to me, but it does solve a lot of problems about like placement and stuff. So
I think it is a little strange. I mean, like if we were designing our own deck, then we have to figure out a different garden arrangement. Yeah.
Well, because of the way we've decided how things get cycled out, it would never be divisible by anything. In a predictable way.
Right.
So this is a solution to that, just filling out with whatever. The other option could be that when we replace cards in that last time, you do them one at a time, and then, so we just leave the ones left, you know, and we count from some corner or something.
This seems more elegant. I don't know.
Well, it just ultimately means we're using more cards than there are in the deck, but...
That's okay.
I'm okay with that. Yeah, because then there's an opportunity to get more points than you would expect, which is kind of exciting.
Right, so maybe like if there's only one card left in the deck, then you get a whole, you know.
Yeah,
I don't love that, but like it's fine for now. There's no problem exactly. It's more just about feel.
So I did the corner card. So it's Steven's turn.
Steven's turn.
Does the game end when all four corners are revealed?
Let's say in this last one, all the cards need to be revealed.
Okay.
Sure.
I guess. Right? Oh yeah, sure. Because then you get more opportunity for more points.
I don't know.
I'm doing it anyway.
Either way is whatever, but. I got an ace. Everybody's wiped clean.
Yay. One power.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some balance issues here.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Okay.
So in this case, this benefited Ellen alone.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because she has a point.
Yeah.
Ah.
And then Ellen finds
diagonal for Ellen.
God, diagonal. Yep.
Ellen is just going to... What's interesting about this, so I just moved and got nothing, is that at this point, we now kind of know what's going to happen. And Ellen, there's really nothing you can do to get anything. So where are you even going to go? Like, I think there's some agency that you should be able to have in a situation where you can't. Because it's just three turns of you moving wherever.
Yeah.
Like maybe if you move where somebody else is, you can do something or, you know. Or maybe that would be a good time to use to bank, I guess. And so maybe
For now, it would be a good time to bank.
So there'll be situations like this where there are three turns left where there's nothing you can do.
And I think we're just going to play it out like that.
Yes, yes.
And then we can talk about what we want to change. So I'm not going to go anywhere. I'm just going
to... I guess you should, because you have to, right?
I went there.
It's weird.
I revisited a card that I already did.
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to move.
Let's all converge on this thing.
I'm going to peek at it.
Yep.
Because you can.
Just to see what it says.
Yes. Yes. Just guess.
It's an ace.
I wish.
That'd be hilarious.
Just does happen.
Okay.
All right, that's the game.
That's the end game.
Even in a situation where we had a lot of points, with those two aces didn't come, I think the end game probably needs some work.
Well, sure. Yeah.
I think a lot of it needs some work, but it was fun. I think that waiting, I think you should be able to bank. I think one token should equal 1 point.
Yeah?
The entire game, the only person to bank three was me.
Yeah.
And the only other person who had an option of ever banking three was you. Like, only ever had the option, then you lost it to an ace. So I think that...
Well, the thing is, it's supposed to be kind of... Well, depends on how savvy you play. Because if you... How the powers have to be so beneficial that you don't just bank points as soon as you get them. Because that
the powers are that beneficial.
You think so?
Yes. I mean, having only gotten it for a little bit of time, it was pretty helpful.
Right, but I got the... I didn't have any... Like, I uncovered some powers.
Yeah.
Without having any... Like, I didn't...
No,
right?
I... Well,
so, like, I got lucky early on.
Yeah.
But then, at a certain point, you got... Like, those last two fields,
yeah.
You got, I think, one more than I did. We just both got wiped out.
Mm-hmm.
And you ended with one more.
Yeah.
And so, like, I don't, if I were just to instead bank every one, I don't think I would have gotten fewer.
I think you.
I definitely wouldn't. I never peeked at a card that gave me one.
Well, peek, well, I don't know. Maybe
there was, and there wasn't any time that I used my move two to get out of a jam. Just it happened to be.
Sure.
It's not always going to happen.
So,
in my particular instance,
yeah.
If I had banked every time,
uh-huh.
I would have just won and none of my moves would have, well, very few of my moves would have been different.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I think that, like, I feel like Ellen was able to use peeking quite advantageously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you were able to use movement quite advantageously.
Sure.
And I didn't really get the opportunity to do it. I did use my diagonals. Even when I had my diagonals, it gave me more opportunities to search for stuff.
Yeah.
So I think it does give you pretty significant bonuses. Significant enough to want to hold on to at least one coin.
Yeah.
See,
go ahead.
I was going to say, I think we made a playable game.
Yes.
I think it would not be... In its current state, it would not be a game I would want to play again. But it could be something that, like, 10-year-old me would play.
Yeah.
Just because there's way... It's too swingy and there's too much randomization. But there, I think there's a way to deal with that by maybe, like, changing the way... Maybe making powers a little bit more frequent.
Yeah.
And also maybe making it so, like, the color tokens don't matter. Just the number that you have. So, like, when you get one, you get, like, your first slap power.
Yeah.
And then you get a second one. That's just second slot power, and your third is your third slot power.
Yeah, it could also be maybe there are four suits in the game, so it could be those are the three powers and the wipeout, and so it's just constant. Mm-hmm. And then you do have to want to bank three, and then just so that the actions happen more often.
Yeah,
might be a good way to do it. It could be that they're like, or it could be that it could be the opposite. It could be number cards give you an ability based on suit, face cards do nothing, and the ace is still the wipeout.
Mm-hmm.
That might just be a balance. That, and then the gameplay is the same otherwise as we've done. That might actually just solve a lot of problems.
Yeah, it's... Yeah. It definitely, to me, feels like the core is there.
Yeah.
It's
a question of, like, is there anything wrong with the rules, or is it the balance?
I think it's the balance.
Yeah.
I think it's mostly balance, but I think that first, before balance, it's a little bit of tweaking of the rules.
Yeah, I agree with that. But for now, listener, you can take the rules that we've got that Stephen has been keeping notes on this whole time while he was being beaten by Ellen.
You think I had a lot of time, but I they'll be in a ready state by the time this episode comes out.
Yeah, and try it yourself, because this is one of those games where you have all the things you need.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm pondering right now, but, like, there's a lot here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely... I definitely want to take some wrenches to it and move some bolts around. But I also think that we did an okay job.
Yeah, how did we do on the prompts here? I forgot about those.
Playthinker things. So I definitely think we hit on exploration, and we definitely hit on approach, right? Like, we're trying to approach the cards that are unrevealed.
And each other and the corners.
Efficiency, the player is motivated to master the game system so they can play cleanly and expertly. Mastery can come from precise control, knowledge of the system, exploitation of glitches, and so on. I think that we could eventually get to the state, but I think it would take some adjustments to the bolts, like I said.
I would say that, like, in its current state, that is a minor concern of the game.
Yeah.
And that explains why we don't go for it very hard. If it was a more top tier, then the game would have problems. But I don't know that that's a problem with the game right now.
Well, I mean, these cards are just...
No, for sure.
Just,
it's just,
to get it started. I mean, unless you take them really seriously. If you could get your own deck of Playthinker cards, and you can take the prompt cards as seriously as you want.
Mm-hmm.
Combinations, simple objects can be combined with some degree of freedom to create more complex ones. I think we have a start of something there.
Yeah, I don't know that. I think we decided not to go that far down that road.
Yeah.
Like, we had a couple of opportunities, and we kept finding it making more sense to be a little simpler. I mean, we made the choices. I think they were the right one, but I could see that feeling like we could have gone leaned in that a little harder.
Yeah,
we could have tried harder on that part.
It just for right now, we could have. I think there needs to be more skill involved in the game. It is too much luck right now.
Right.
And so we'll have to noodle how to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, part of me is like okay with it being a lot of like, especially thinking like this is a game you pull out at a family gathering.
Yeah,
like there's part of me that just is kind of into that, like as a pillar of the game. But also, it can lead to frustration if you only play twice and you get lose badly both times or something. Then you might just have an impression of the game.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, well done, team.
Yay.
It's the first in-person board game we've done.
Yeah.
In a long, long while.
Yeah.
And I would say, like, oh, we're still figuring it out, but like, we did great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's warm in this room. Let's wrap it up.
Yeah, let's wrap it up so we can turn the air conditioner on. It's a super good idea. Hey, that's our show. Check out our website, nicegames.clo, for show notes and links to resources on today's topics, which are this game. Steven will have the rules for you to peruse and play at home. We'd love to hear your thoughts on the episode and our programming in general. Go to nicegames.club/feedback. Tell us what you think. You can get in touch with us also on Twitter at nicegamesclub, where Dale tweets about game dev resources and things urbanists fail to consider. Or you can email us, contact@nicegames.club. Want to support the show? There are so many ways. You can give us a review on your favorite podcast app. You can tell your friends about your favorite episodes. You can join us on Discord by visiting nicegames.club/discord. And also, we are on Patreon. That's right. As a patron of the show, you'll enjoy bonus content, extra jokes, and a whole lot more. Sign up at patreon.com/nicegamesclub. So until we start again, remember to
play nice
and make nice.
Well, first I gotta move my chair because it's getting past me.
Well, let's keep that in.
Oh yeah, that's fun.
We have this chair here where Holly was sitting before she left us, and we could be using that one instead. But you're already set up over there.
That idea did not occur to me until just now.
Well, now would be the time to move.
Yeah, but I'm already sitting down.
I know. I know.
I'm glad we had Holly on.
Yeah, she's cool.
She's so smart.
Yeah,
we gotta keep this in the episode so Holly knows how smart, intelligent, and wonderful person she is.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call. Click Grainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.